Millen Australia Audio and Belinda present this unabridged recording of Take Risks, written and read by John Marsden. One. Sorry, we seem to have misplaced your child. The last meaningful use of the word dream may have been by Martin Luther King. Since then, it's been hijacked by greeting card companies, mindless sentimentalists, and politicians, and has lost its integrity. Yet, I have to reluctantly concede that Candlebark School did start as a dream, the daydream of a 15-year-old high school student in Sydney. At the exclusive and expensive single-sex The King's School, an archaic and anachronistic boarding school which I attended on a scholarship as a day boy, I sat through class after class, year after year, fearing much of the time that I would implode or explode in some kind of frenzy in response to the monotonous teaching and harsh, rigid policies. To pass the hours, I counted the dots in the ceiling tiles, plotted imaginary journeys in my atlas, read novels under the desk, watched the dreary movement of the clock hands, and sabotaged the lessons in every imaginable way. But as well, I daydreamed. Many of those daydreams were about redesigning the school. I longed for the opportunity to be King of Kings for a day, in a secular sense, and to implement changes. In the language of the 21st century, I wanted to make the school user-friendly, and in my imaginary reconstruction of Kings, the primary users were, who would have thought, the students. Certainly the school seemed teacher-friendly. Walking on grass was a luxury forbidden to the students, but members of staff strolled to their classes across verdant lawns, comfortable in the knowledge that their feet were caressing the grass lovingly, and the grass accepted those overtures with gratitude. Teachers did not need to hurry, as they knew prefects would be supervising their classes until they arrived. We boys would be at our desks, books ready, sitting silent and still, in an atmosphere of fear. Our fear was of the prefects, who wielded more power than the teachers. If a prefect caught a boy so much as whispering whilst the class waited for its teacher, severe punishments were inflicted. In many cases, once the teacher had arrived, we could riot, especially with my Latin teacher and one of my maths teachers, both of whom I now realise, looking back, suffered from some form of dementia. But the prefects who prowled the corridors, enforcing complete silence and stillness until the teacher arrived, we did not challenge their authority. These muscular 17 and 18-year-olds, chosen, it appeared, largely for their ability at rugby and or rowing, were free to administer corporal punishment, which they did with gay abandon. The teachers lived in comfortable homes or flats attached to boarding houses on the school's magnificent new 65-hectare campus. When on duty, they could, if they chose, spend the evenings with their families or watch BP Pickerbox on TV or correct essays, leaving the running of the boarding houses to the prefects. The master on duty need only emerge for the evening roll call, but if he was busy, he could leave that too to the senior students, some of whom, lacking guidance and direction, maturity and wisdom, behaved like thugs.